Everything with the covenant's about a lifestyle. It's not about grabbing something now and then you go do something else. It becomes your way of breathing, thinking, living, sleeping. Whatever you do, it becomes, that's your life.
Are your finances out of control? Do you think your situation's too big for God? Join Kenneth Copeland and Frederick Price as they reveal how a heart decision to do things God's way can change your future. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We are blessed today. Dr. Frederick K.C. Price is with us again today. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I can hardly wait to get into this because, I've known Brother Fred for a long time, over 35 years. And every time I've ever heard him preach, every time I've been in his church, every time I've been in his meetings, every time I watch his TV broadcast, I just come out of there thinking, I can do this. And so it's going to be that way again today, too. Brother Fred, God bless you, sir.
Brother.
Thank you. You're one of the busiest men in the world, and you to come and take time with us here, it's a good thing, and we appreciate it.
My privilege.
Father, we thank you today for
thank
this
you.
Broadcast. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for every word of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to where we began last week in 3 John 2. We asked the question back then, first of all, the statement that faith begins where the will of God is known, not wondered about or guessed about or not known at all. And then, are we supposed to prosper? And I'm talking about financially. Are we supposed to prosper financially and be a strong Christian believer, strong in God, and financially capable at the same time? Are those two compatible or incompatible? Well, then we went to 3 John 2, and we pointed out the fact that the man that wrote this letter is the Apostle John. This is the man that Jesus trusted so highly that he turned his mother over to him while he was hanging on a cross. I mean, man, this is the man that was probably of all the apostles, particularly in Jesus' earthly ministry, this is the man that was close to him. This is the man that when all the rest of them ducked out, he stayed in there with him, man. He wouldn't turn loose. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, then we read over in the book of Deuteronomy.
Now, Ken, before you go there, you said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. There's those three other words right in between prosper and in all things.
Ah, yes.
So that would have to include finances, because finances are a thing.
That's absolutely the truth.
In all things and plus be in health.
Be in health.
But people may miss that in all things.
I remember in a message that Creflo Dollar preached, and he said, now, if you take the plan of God, it is complete.
Right.
And a circle is complete.
Right.
Now, if you leave out any part of that circle, you leave any part of that pie out, it's not complete.
It's incomplete.
And it includes your financial life, most assuredly your spiritual life.
Right.
It includes everything about you mentally. It includes everything about your family. It includes everything, all things.
Exactly.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up. Because people have a tendency to compartmentalize the things of God. Well, this is my spiritual life, but no, this is my business life right over here, and I don't want to get those two mixed up.
You better mix them up.
You better mix it up first, because if you don't, you're not going to have much life on either side.
Exactly.
Amen. Exactly. Thank you, Fred. Now, that's the reason then he went ahead and said, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth or the word of God that is in you, even as you walk in the word, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the word.
Yeah.
That has to be in all things.
Amen.
It gives me no joy when my children hurt.
Tell me about it.
And they can.
I hurt when they hurt.
I hurt when they hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way over my spiritual children as
exactly.
I am my natural children.
Absolutely.
Man, they go to hurting. And there's not anything, Fred, that I've seen in 42 years of ministry now that will hurt a family any more than financial difficulties and can't pay the bills and then strife gets in there, and where there's strife there's confusion, every evil work, people start getting sick and all that. Terrible thing.
It is.
Let's go back over here to Deuteronomy now. In this 8th chapter, you're talking about in all things. Let's see what he's talking about in this chapter before we read that 18th verse. Mm-hmm. In verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, so food's involved, and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, so houses are involved.
There it is.
And when your herds, your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. We're talking about things you have.
That's right.
Now then, verse 18, and remember the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is He that gave you the power to get the food. It's He that gave you the power to build the house. It's He that gave you the power to live in it. And that means all the stuff in the house, because you didn't just build a house and
nothing
you had to have something in it. And He's the one that gave you power to get herds and flocks and the multiplication thereof and the silver and the gold and all that you have. We pretty well covered it, didn't we?
Covered it. Nothing left out.
I don't preach myself happy, man. Yeah, this thrills me. That He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. Now, oh my goodness, this is when we have to take another step. I'm convinced from God's Word. Let me paint a picture for you. I'm in a mess. I'm in a bunch of debt. Got credit cards up to about here. Things are not going well at home. All of a sudden, the economy is just caving in all around me. And all I hear everywhere I go, all I hear at work is, oh, it's terrible. We're going to lose our jobs. Our company's going down the drain, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff, all just going on. And I lay down at night. I can't close my eyes without seeing myself standing outside wondering what I'm going to do next. But I tuned into the broadcast all last week, and I thought, yeah, now, hey, God don't want me in this. I'm supposed to prosper. My goodness, I believe I'm going to start going to church over at Crenshaw. I'm supposed to be in good health here. Yep, that's the will of God. Now what? What I do now? There's got to be a next step. This one was the one that caused me more difficulty. I came off the street, you know. I was raised in church, but I left all of that as soon as I could get out of there, and I was mad at the whole world. Met Gloria, and she started straightening me out, and then I met Jesus, and boy, between the two of them, they jerked a lot of slack out of me.
Yeah.
But I didn't know much about church, and I thought is when I heard people say that, well, now, you know. Don't expect God to heal you anymore. Well, why not? What'd I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have that to get rid of.
Me neither.
So,
thank God for that.
I didn't have any problem in my thinking with how God could get healing to me and so forth. But I got hung up here because I was a picture of what I just described a while ago. More been in debt. Gloria said she didn't know I had all that debt when we got married, and I'd have lied if she asked me about it. I mean, I didn't want to tell her that till after we got married. Then it's all right. And she said, "You must have borrowed money on your tricycle. You had to have started in grade school." As much debt you can't pay, and you're only 25 years old. Well, and by this time it was really weighing heavy on me. But how does God get it to me? What do I do now? I believe it. Yeah, I'm ready. But what do I do? I know I'm supposed to have faith, but how do I do that? How does faith work? What do I do next? So I was really shocked. It kind of took me back at how quickly God moved to answer that once I got in the Word. Now, the first 2 or 3 years, I just let Gloria do all the studying. After all, I had to make a living. I wasn't making a living, but it's just my mindset. You know?
Sure.
Now, where are we now? We're in this mess. What do you think ought to do here, Pastor?
Well, let me tell you. The key, of course, is the Word of God and the covenant. However, one of the primary things that people have to recognize early on when they start in this journey is that they did not get into the financial dilemma that they're in overnight. They've been working on that, like with you, for years and years and years. They are highly developed in debt. They're highly developed in deprivation. So since you didn't get into it overnight, you're not going to get out overnight, but you're going to make a decision to get out overnight. And then it'll start working. And so there has to be that realization, there are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind and being renewed in your mind to realize that the direction I've been going in is not God's best for me. So once I see in the Word where I am to go, I start on that journey. And without doubt, without question, it's not going to happen tomorrow night, but you will come out of that thing the moment you make up your mind based on the Word of God, because as you pointed out, the Word of God promises me all these things. God wants me healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's the best way I can say it. But I got to start in there. So I've got to find out, okay, like you said, oh, I believe all these things. I've heard all these things. It's great. It sounds good, reasonable. I like it. Now, what do? I got to find out, okay, what's God's M.O.? His M.O. How does he get the wealth? He gives me power to get the wealth, but how do I get that?
He never changes.
Never,
it's going to be the same.
The same.
And, you know, there's a lot of comfort in that.
Absolutely.
He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. But he's going to do it his way.
According to his word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be convinced of that. And you can't look at the circumstances to allow the circumstances to be the thing that convinces you. You have to take a step of faith, which is acting on God's word. You just got to take God at his word. And the thing that's so incredible about it is that every single day of our lives, we act on the word of people that we don't even know.
You know, that's true.
That we don't have a covenant with. They tell us to buy this, buy that, eat this, eat that, And just like a little trained dog, we run right down and do exactly what they say. Yeah. And we don't even ask a question. We don't say, well, whoa, why should I do this? I mean, you go to the doctor and the doctor tell you you got the XYZs and I'm going to prescribe a prescription for you. And you take the prescription to the pharmacy and the guy writes something on it you can't read. And then they give you a bottle of pills. The label says take one 3 times a day with meals. You don't take it to a chemist and have it examined to find out, now, wait a minute, what's in here? Is this stuff going to kill me or not? You just acted on the word of the pharmacist. You've never seen that dude before in your life.
But you trusted him.
You trusted him. Yeah. You took him at his word. Mm-hmm. But we have a real challenge, it seems, Christians I'm talking about, when it comes to the word of God. Show me. I got to have proof. Let a dog bark the Star Spangled Banner at midnight, and then I'll know it's true. Instead of just acting on it like we do with everybody else. But there's a way that God gets the wealth to us. Faith, of course, is the key that makes it work. But what is that method? Well, I believe that the Word shows us there are two, maybe some more, but I have found two primary ways that are absolutely in line with the Word of God. They are consistent. They never change, just like He doesn't. Tithes, number one, and giving for Jesus' sake in the gospel or investing in the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are the two keys that open the treasure chest of God. Again, it's not going to be an overnight quick fix. But it's a lifestyle because everything with the covenant's about a lifestyle. It's not about grabbing something now and then you go do something else. It becomes your way of breathing, thinking, living, sleeping, whatever you do, it becomes, that's your life. You start in it, and brother, sister, it is amazing how it will work. You won't even realize all of a sudden you look and say, well, I'm not in debt anymore. What happened?
You know, that happened to Gloria.
Yeah.
We set out, we were, this is 1967 now.
That's when I started tithing.
That's when we started.
1967.
Well, we started just a few months before that when we left to go to Oral Roberts University.
Okay.
Now, we'd been hit and miss. I knew we were supposed to, but, man, when we left to go up there, we made that absolute in our lives. It was with me in the very beginning, of course it still is, but the thing that was really pressing me then was, this is an act of honor. This is not my money in the first place. It's God's, and I don't care if I don't eat. I am taking Him what's His. That's the way it began, of course, much more than that now.
Certainly.
But $24,000 in bad debt. And our income the year before was below the national poverty level. So $24,000 in 1967 would be like, what, $150,000,
$200,000 now?
It was hard back there then. Even than it is now, because then, man, people come down on you hard when you wasn't paying your debts back then. Bad enough now. And here we were. I'm telling you, by this time, I not only wanted out of this stuff just for all of the basic reasons, but I saw it as a dishonor to God to have bad debt hanging over me and my family and me going into ministry. This has got to end. Well, we started taking these different steps. 11 months later, we were out of debt. And it was just like you said, God did that? Now, there were a couple of things that were just drastic miracles, and they happened. But most of it just seemed like it got absorbed. There were just little things happening. We were so caught up in the Word of God, and we've never been in debt since. And that's over 41 years ago. So, listen, if people that come and tell me, well, you know, maybe God could handle that, but I got a big debt here. You come too late for me. I've seen too much happen, and I know if I was looking at this same situation again, take me back to that time, and I'm facing this, or the description I made earlier about a man in this kind of trouble. Are you kidding me? I'd be digging in my house. I'd be pulling out every drawer. I'd look through every coat pocket. I'd find me something to tie.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, I wouldn't go to bed again till I found me something to tie. But that's what's happened over 40 years, of experience in
this. Right.
I'd tie something if it were nothing but the laces out of my shoes. I cut buttons off my shirt and put them in offerings because I didn't have any money.
Mm.
But that was all part of it. And I didn't do that very long until I began to have a dollar or two. Then I began to have a $5. And then I began to have a 20. And then I began to have that. And it just seemed to just grow.
It's,
easiest way I can put words around this, I believe, Fred, is it seemed to me that just right away I noticed it had a life of its own. I wasn't working it. It was working. I know now that that's exactly what I had. That's a thrill way to live.
Amen.
Get up every morning and think, what's going to happen today?
That's
right. Instead of, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
Totally different thing. Amen. All right. Take us on into that, Fred. Forgive me for getting carried away here.
No,
but
no.
This is my very heart coming out.
Yeah.
Because I saw this back then once I got just a step or two into it. I began to see, hey, according to the Word, I'm a wealthy man already. It's just a matter of time now if I'll do what the Word says. It belongs to me. It's coming to me. Praise God. What, you mean to tell me we're out of time already? Timothy, you better go check that clock. That thing is not working right. Amen. Brother Fred and I'll be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's Word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people.
To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Prosperity, good news for God's people. And when I first read that, I read it two or three times before it dawned on me, I'm not reading it right. Good news for good people. Well, yeah, that's right, too. Praise the Lord. God's people are good people. God doesn't love us because we're good. We're good because God loves us.
Amen.
You get that in line, and then these things begin to get strong in your life. Now, here's the reason you need to have and to study in depth books like this one. This is Brother Fred's new book. See right up here, it says Proven Results. That's what you want to know. And you take this book that details what you're getting from this book, and then you go back and you read this one again. And that's that's what will take you on through, not only just through this thing, but like Brother Fred said, this is lifestyle. I'm not looking just to get out of this mess. I'm looking to go on beyond that.
Beyond.
Now, this chapter 3, the law of tithes and offerings. You can't cover all of this in detail on the broadcast like you can in a book. You can't. You don't have time. But it's in here in detail, and it's not just his personal experience. It's not just the Bible. It is the Bible and his personal experience and his life for living this for 50 years. I mean, this is just the way God works. So get your hands on a copy of this book and then get some more of them and give them away. You need to order it for your pastor. And all of you that are pastoring churches out there, listen, you study what's said in here about tithes and offerings, and you'll have a smile on your face, I guarantee you. Father, we thank you for this radio and television audience all over the world. We bless you for raising us up, praise God, and putting us in a high place. West Coast Believers Convention, June the 29th through July the 4th, Long Beach Convention Center, and 6 days and nights full of the Word of God, total immersion in the power of God. Super kids, age 6 to 12. Hey, we've got Spanish translation there for those of you that want to get in on it. Praise God. Amen. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, this is Kenneth Copeland and Fred Price. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455.
The Spirit of the living God will be moving in ways that you've only dreamed about up till now, and you'll be on your way to more wonderful and greater things. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 2009, and the glory will shine.
The glory will shine in 2009. Come with a heart expecting to see the glory of God at the 2009 West Coast Believers Convention, June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. Super Kid Academy with Commander Kelly will also be held for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
That's the thing I truly like about God, because he places the responsibility in my hands. I can't alibi anymore.
No, you can't.
You know, I can't. Well, I don't have it because the white folks wouldn't let me have it. I don't have it because them folks in the ghetto messed up. This, that. Always some excuse. I'm the problem. And thank God I found out I'm not going to be a problem anymore.